give you guys a pulse of the country. Four major topics every single mayor is dealing with, everyone, is homelessness, affordable housing, fentanyl, and recruitment and retention of police officers. Those are the four. I mean, yes. you won't find one mayor in the United States that said we have any of those figured out yet.
So four things that Mayor D.C. Reeves told Jeff Bergasher in coffee with the commissioner a week and a half. That the four things they're dealing with are retention of police officers, affordable housing, homelessness, and fentanyl. Joining us now, we have Chip Simmons, Sheriff of Escambia County. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, good to have you. So there are two of those that are relevant to your agency. Obviously, you used to be the chief of the Pensacola Police Department, then with corrections and among other things at the county. You did a lot of things, yeah. And you did a lot of things back in the day that we don't always talk about. That are, you know, all kinds of things in law enforcement, right? Okay. Mostly good things. But recruitment and retention of law enforcement officers, we do talk about this quite a bit.
Right.
He said, you know, every mayor struggles with that across the country. I would say that mayors outside the South struggle with that a lot. Is my perception right that especially here in Florida, more pro law enforcement areas, that we do better with it? It's still harder, but it's not hard like it is, say, in Illinois or New York or California.
Well, I mean, I would say that it's still a struggle. I said, but we are able to attract individuals that want to come and live in Florida, first of all, and then we do have the support of the community. It's still okay for a child to want to be a police officer when they grow up here in Escambia County. We see it. I hear it all the time.
Isn't that a crazy thing that you have to say? That yeah. Here it's still okay to want to grow up to be a cop? Like, in a lot of places, that's amazing. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I've been to conferences throughout the country, and I was in D.C. a couple of months ago, and they had that conversation. They can't get people, and it's almost like you can't even talk about wanting to be a police officer. But here in Escambia County, certainly, we're able to attract a number of people. We only have just a couple of openings now, and we could fill those if we really wanted to. It's just the pipeline just takes so long. That's why we tried to get. That's why we were able to get our own training academy, so we can use our own timing and train our own deputies.
If this doesn't get fixed in other parts of the nation, what's going to be true in 10 years? Because, I mean, it's one thing to say right now it's hard, but that's going to be an ongoing problem, you know? If people aren't becoming cops, wanting to become cops as a systemic problem across the nation in many parts, that's a huge issue.
Well, I mean, and that's why you have to approach it. A lot of people think you just throw money at it, which is something you obviously have to do. If you can get a better job or better paying job somewhere else, then you know, someone will go another location. But I think that if it continues, I fear that those cities, specifically the ones that are in a more liberal communities, I fear that they'll just accept the fact that there is a crime-ridden community. I mean, around here, we have a crime. We talk about it. Oh, my gosh, this took place. You know, we had a stabbing over the weekend.
Yeah.
But up in some areas, it happens so frequently that it's not even news anymore.
It's just the background noise of an urban life or something.
Yeah, let me know when you have a mass shooting. Let me know whenever it affects a school. And that's just heartbreaking. But that's not the case here, fortunately. We have a lot of support, and our men and women in law enforcement here in Escambia County and Pensacola do a fantastic job.
The other thing that DC mentioned was fentanyl. And you and I have talked about this many times, but there's been some, unfortunately, new things connected to that, right?
Well, you know, we had a record-breaking fentanyl arrest just a couple months ago. We did a press conference on it, talked about how we seized enough fentanyl to kill potentially 800,000 people and all this. And I just over the weekend, Friday, a couple of days ago, we had a report of a double overdose. Now, one person ended up surviving, but one did pass away from the overdose. And then Sunday, we had another double overdose. Both of them passed away. And then last night, we had another.
Now, another double? Again?
No, a single. So In the past 5 days or so, we've had five overdoses, four of which passed away. And the odd part about that is that we've had is the doubles. It's these are two people that they get together and they overdo it, and that's a little bit of a concern for us. And so if anyone wonders why we're so tough on these drug dealers, why I partner with some of our federal agency, why the DEA, why we spend a lot of our time and prioritize fentanyl, is because fentanyl is killing our community. And it's just something that is just the highest of priorities for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. And it's just, again, the reason I bring it up is because it's odd that we would have two doubles in the last couple of days.
Are, are the users, I mean, and I suppose it's probably a little bit of both, but are they caught by surprise by there being fentanyl in things they didn't expect it to be in, that it's cut into other drugs? Or do they know it's got fentanyl and they just can't handle the potency of it, or both? Or
that's based on what I'm hearing. Again, it's probably true in everything you say in different settings.
Sure.
I believe they're looking to get high on fentanyl.
So that is the demand
drug
now.
But they don't understand. Yeah, it's fentanyl is a more substantial high for them, and then they continue to push the envelope and push the envelope. And again, there was two of them. The one again, we don't get into names and we don't get into too many details. But I mean, they're all they have fentanyl in the area. They have syringes. They have all these the telltale signs of a drug overdose. I just think it's heartbreaking to see what has become of some of the people in our. Some of the people in our community, you hear a lot about they thought they were taking aspirin and it was fentanyl laced, but we rarely see that. The overwhelming majority of the overdoses that we see are those who intend to take fentanyl, and they either in their euphoria they continue to take more, and they don't understand how much they've taken until it's too late.
In other words, people who have bad judgment when it comes to using drugs in the first place might also have bad judgment in how much of that drug is safe for them to consume or under what circumstances.
And if both of them are doing it, if there's two in a room, both of them are doing it, there's no cooler head to prevail. No one can say, hey, we've had enough. And as long as they have it, they'll continue to smoke it until it's gone.
Sheriff, you kind of mentioned it just a moment ago when we were talking, but we've had not one but two stabbings in the last week, one at Town and Country Mall and one at a wedding reception in Molino on Saturday night. Is that right?
we just reported as it's reported to us, and we had one stabbing based upon a fight at Town and Country Plaza, right there at Fairfield and Pace.
Right in your backyard, basically.
Yeah, across the street. But apparently they have a party there, and the party was leaving and into the parking lot of Town and Country. There was a fight, and the report was a stabbing. I don't have any information on the condition of the individual that was stabbed. No one's really giving us much information, just a crowd of people fighting. Someone ends up being cut, and they're claiming they were stabbed.
Gotcha.
That sort of thing. And then we had another one that was, like you said, at a wedding. You know, there's so many stories and movies about weddings and you know, strange things happen. But we ended up arresting Harold Alfonso Ramos Files of Ocala and charged him with aggravated battery and use of a deadly weapon. Basically, it was a result of a private event wedding on Crabtree Church Road. But they airlifted to a hospital, but as I understand it, he'll survive.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good, but, you know, it's not great when you have a stabbing at a wedding. But, you know, people partying sometimes get to talking and don't agree with each other and drinking and all the things that happen at a wedding. I mean, you know.
We have the same thing happening during holiday season.
Yeah.
We have people,
yeah,
extended
that makes
family
sense.
Comes in and rehash some old rivalries.
We also had on Old Coryfield Road, we had a guy who was in his 70s was out walking. Somebody attempted to rob him. He tries to defend himself. He gets shot. I mean, what happened here?
Well, I mean, I'll call him our hero in this story.
Okay.
So our hero is walking his two dogs off Old Coryfield Road, and two guys approach him and pull a gun and try to rob him. He pulls his own gun, and then they run, but they also shoot at him. He shoots at them. He ends up getting shot in the ankle, but our hero is expected to survive.
Wow. Do you know time of day?
It was early in the morning.
But light out?
I don't know that it was light out,
okay.
But it was really early in the morning.
Well, because
just at dawn.
You know, in my mind, okay, you know, there's places you go where you feel like this is perhaps an unsafe place to be by myself, and there's places you go where you're like, it's Old Coryfield Road. For goodness sakes, it's a major road. Semi, you know? That wouldn't be... So, I don't know. Just, that's... But, yeah, I guess he didn't get robbed.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot greater conversation here to be had about concealed weapons and protecting yourself and all that sort of thing. And when an individual, you know, protects themselves and takes the steps to protect themselves and then actually does it, you know, I applaud, you know, because that's what I would do.
He's doing everything you tell people to do.
He was reasonable.
Be aware.
Yeah.
Be trained. Get your certificate.
You know, and he survived the day. And I think that's very important.
Yeah. That's true. I had been thinking how bad that he got shot, but the good news is he didn't get killed.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't know when somebody's rolling up on you trying to rob you with guns. You never, I mean.
And again, I'm not saying everyone should you know, pull a gun and start shooting. I think, you know, we talk about, you know, the reasonableness of the action at the time that it took place and whether you thought that you were, someone else was in danger. Clearly he was in danger. And as I say once, I'll say it again and again, it's okay to protect yourself in Escambia County. And as long as I'm the sheriff, you're not going to be penalized for that.
Thank goodness. You were at PPD chief for a while. I know you're familiar with what used to be the Platinum Club. It's now Club Climax. It's gone through a variety of things. We had a horrible incident that took place there a couple of years ago. We've had another one over the week. I think it's in the city limits, so it's really not your jurisdiction anymore. But, I mean, first reaction from a lot of people is, well, why don't they just shut that down? And I know that's not your domain anymore, but is that an overreaction, or is that the kind of thinking we ought to be having? Do you have an opinion? Feel free to say it's not your issue. You don't want to weigh in, but
well, no, I always have an opinion, as my wife would say. I think that like what we talked about the stabbing at Town and Country Plaza.
Yeah,
that's actually the second stabbing we've had there in about 6 months, and so I've already instructed our people to contact the owners, contact and find out who they're leasing this to. And when I was a police chief, I would write letters to people, say, you're experiencing this much crime there, you're drained on resources, you need to do something, because I'm logging this letter, and so if someone wants to sue you later on, I'm gonna show them this letter.
This is to the club.
I warned you to various clubs.
Oh, there were
clubs,
okay,
downtown. Gotcha. And so my point is, I think that you can put some, you know, an idea in a business's head and let them know, this is what we're seeing, this is what we're doing. Again, I wouldn't be the one that would tell PPD what to do. They've
right.
They can make their own decisions. But because I was a police chief and I'm now the sheriff, I'm letting you know what I did. When we have one location, specifically a business, that in my opinion, I'll just say it, allows, you know, crowds to gather with insufficient security, then things like this can get out of hand. And I think that they need to be made aware of that, and I think that things need to be taken.
Now, that's an interesting note that, you know, putting something in writing to them would put them on notice, and then, you know, that they would have to think about their legal liability because they have been warned this is an unsafe situation. Interesting. Hey, last thing before we let you go, you're starting the cold case symposium again tomorrow and Thursday, right?
We're only working on 4 cases this time because the investigators that volunteered their time to come in, they say, you know what, we really want to work on these. We want to work more on specific cases. So we're working 4, some range from as far back as 1981. We're looking at Anna Brown, who was 38, that was found shot up off of Crabtree Church Road, Molino. We're working on homicide of Kenneth Deshaun Underwood, who was 9 at the time. He was killed somewhere near his cantonment home in 1981. We're working the homicide of Connie Annette Slaughter, who was 43, found in the backyard of her home. And we're working the death of Stephen R. Davis, who was shot to Winn-Dixie on Navy Boulevard in 1998. So obviously, if anyone has any information on any of these cases, give us a call. But these are the cases that our investigators, and we've got a great reception from our retired investigators or investigators that have moved into the Escambia County area that want to come and give that fresh look, that new set of eyes, and see if we can finally bring some resolution to these families.
Very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time, the information, and for doing your very best to keep Escambia County safe. I certainly appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.